up, put your shoes on, take a breath of the northern air, and rub those eyes.
We'll talk to Jeff Diamond today about the size of NFL coaching staffs, how much they've grown over the years. We're going to talk about how he ranks the top quarterback prospects in this draft. But we'll start with something juicy. I'll ask him for a progress report on Justin Jefferson. We'll also get to Harrison Smith. This is Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider, part of TalkNorth.com. Best way to listen to this show or any show at the network is to subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's the easiest way to listen. I also recommend the Viking Update show on this network. We have two Viking shows. Of course, Jeff provides the expert analysis from a former Vikings general manager, former president of the Tennessee Titans. So today, Jeff, and we also want to thank White Bear Lake Superstore, whitebearlakesuperstore.com, our longtime sponsor. Jeff, let's start with this. I do a lot of outstate radio hits, and they tend to throw a lot of rumors at me that they're hearing. The latest rumor I heard was that Justin Jefferson is very close to signing. I do expect them to sign Justin Jefferson. I don't expect them to sign Justin Jefferson until they go find a quarterback. What do you think?
I think it could happen even before then.
Really?
I think,
okay.
Yeah, I think it's a situation where he knows that they're going to be drafting a quarterback almost 100% sure it's going to happen this year after they picked up that extra first-round pick. And so he knows there's going to be an excellent young quarterback prospect in the building, whether that's J.J. McCarthy, whether it's Drake May, who Jaden Daniels, they're all having their pro days within the last week. It's not going to be Caleb Williams. I don't think that's a big concern for Justin when you're talking about a deal that's going to go out probably 6 years with a five-year extension. So I think that he is ready to sign whenever they put the right offer out there. And to me, that still is in that $172.5 to $175 million range over five new years, around $34.5 to $35 million, which takes his total compensation to slightly over $32 a year when you include this year where he signed for $19.7 million under his fifth-year option. And furthermore, the fact that the Vikings can lower his cap number by probably $10 million with a big signing bonus and a low first-year base salary, it certainly is in their best interest, the Vikings' best interest, to have some extra cap room and then go out and sign maybe another veteran cornerback. They're kind of disappearing now, but a guy like Gilmore is still out there who was with Dallas last year. There's still some quality veteran corners that they could potentially sign. So, yeah, I think the deal could happen any day, and it wouldn't surprise me. I think that it was kind of interesting this week when you hear Kevin O'Connell talk about, I've got Justin in the loop on the quarterback conversation and keeping him up to date on what we're doing. And that was kind of interesting from the standpoint that you don't usually necessarily players involved with updates on pursuits of other players, but the quarterback obviously is the most important position, and Jefferson is their best player. So I guess there's a certain sense to the whole thing, but yeah, I think definitely he's going to get signed here. The alternative for him is that he plays one more year under his fifth year option, and then the Vikings can franchise him next year, which is certainly not going to be advantageous to him in terms of how much guaranteed money he can get when he's looking at probably over, I would say, in the probably the $122 million to $125 million guaranteed money range. That's a heck of a lot better than having a $19.7 million last year on your deal.
Yeah, well, that all makes sense. If I were Jefferson, I would want to see who they drafted, make sure they drafted somebody, because it's no guarantee, you know. And that's what's fascinating about this draft. We're going to get to all the other topics I mentioned, but let's go here. Jaden Daniels had his pro day yesterday. We're talking here on Thursday morning. The ESPN analysts, including Lewis Riddick, are raving about him, saying he's the best quarterback in the draft. He had a spectacular season last year. Explosive plays, great running plays, incredible accuracy, only four interceptions, 40 touchdowns. You know, one of the great quarterback seasons we've ever seen in college football. He apparently looked really good in his pro day. So everybody knows at this point the top four quarterback prospects, and everybody knows the Vikings want to get one of the top four quarterback prospects. How do you rank the four at this moment?
Yeah, I think it's really a tough call. And obviously, Caleb Williams has been the pole setter. But I have my questions about Caleb Williams from the standpoint of some of the decisions he's made pre-draft, some of the statements he's made, how involved his father's been in this whole thing, asking ridiculous questions like, can we get a share of the franchise if you draft us? No, that's not going to happen. And furthermore, if you really evaluate Caleb Williams' play against the best teams, it was not quite as great as it was against some of the lower teams in the Pac-10 and some of the non-conference games he played. Whereas you look at Jaden Daniels, he played in the SEC. He's going against the Alabamas, the Georgias, all these really top teams. And I love his athletic ability. I love the versatility that he has. He's not built quite as stout, shall we say, as maybe Williams or Drake May. J.J. McCarthy is still also kind of in that boat where he's not quite the physical specimen, but J.J. certainly is a guy with a lot of talent, with a winning pedigree. And so I think it's really hard to separate the players. I guess if I had to be pinned down today, I might take Daniels over Williams and then May and McCarthy right there. In that mix after that. But again, I want to even study these guys further before the draft and kind of come up with a determination. But I think it's just a really interesting time. And as we often talk about, it keeps things in the news and a lot of interest among the fan bases of all these cities where you look and think, yeah, the NFL draft is 1 month away now. And you think there's not that much suspense among the top three picks, but maybe there's more than we think. So whether the Bears, Commanders, and Patriots, I don't see any of those teams trading out of their spots. I think they're all going to take quarterback. They need a franchise quarterback. It's a great quarterback draft. And then it seems like the pre-draft drama starts at number four, where teams like the Vikings and the Broncos and perhaps even the Raiders at 11, 12, 13 in the first round may want to trade up. And it seems like the target logically would be probably Mayer McCarthy for the Vikings. But hey, if they have an opportunity to take a shot at Jaden Daniels, I'm sure they would love that too, because as you said, he did have a spectacular season in a tougher conference. But in terms of his build, I think that's maybe a little more of a concern. But it's a great quarterback draft. I think the Vikings are going to get one of those guys, and I still would put my money on J.J. McCarthy as the guy that they're looking at, with Drake May as certainly a possibility. And we know his connection with Josh McCown, who coached him a little bit in high school down in North Carolina. But McCarthy, again, I thought too, Jim, it was really kind of humorous this week with all the interviews at the league meeting in Orlando. And Jim Harbaugh gets up and says, oh, J.J. McCarthy, he's the best quarterback in the draft. He plays the quarterback position the best of all these guys. Well, Jim Harbaugh has kind of a not-so-hidden agenda, because he would love to see quarterbacks taken in the first four picks, which has never happened in NFL history, by the way.
Right.
And if that happens, then Harbaugh and the Chargers are sitting at number five. They don't need a quarterback. They've got Justin Herbert, who is a franchise quarterback. And so they essentially get the top non-quarterback in the draft. And Harbaugh even said, If quarterbacks go in the first four picks, that gives us kind of a number one pick. And he's kind of right.
He's kind of right.
So they can take Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers, who had a great pro day also with Daniels throwing to him at LSU. Everybody talks about Harrison Jr., but he hasn't done any workouts for teams. He didn't do the combine. He didn't do the pro day at Ohio State. a few little red flags floating on him, but I would assume that he'll make some team visits and do some of these workouts and physicals that teams are going to demand before they pick him. But I think the Chargers are certainly in a good position to take that wide receiver to replace Keenan Allen and Mike Williams.
Correct. All right, now take us through the Harrison Smith deal. When we talked to Harrison at the end of the season, he sounded like he was leaning toward retirement. I'm sure he was just beat up and frustrated by the team's collapse at the end of the year. He decides to come back, and it sounds like he did the Vikings a solid with the way he structured his deal.
Yeah, he got a $7 million signing bonus, a lower base salary of about $1.5 million, lowers his cap number significantly, saves the Vikings about $11.9 million of cap space this coming season. I think it is certainly a good move for the team. They did add a bunch of void deals to the contract, which I think they can afford to do now because the dead money in 2025 is much more manageable than it was this year when you had Cousins and Hunter and Davenport hitting the cap for over $50 million of dead money, which is enormous. And so they're taking a big hit this year, but now they're going to structure some of these deals, such as Harrison Smith's, to do that. I think he does bring that veteran stability to the secondary. I think they should be better as a secondary in 2024 when you've got Josh Metellus in his second year as a virtual starter. Cam Bynum is a good player. Harrison brings that veteran savvy and experience and his blitzing ability and so forth. And then you add a veteran corner in Shaquille Griffin that gives them a little more stability at that spot, even though I still say that they can go out and sign another veteran corner. I don't think we've seen quality of play from the youngsters. I'm talking about a Caleb Evans, Andrew Booth Jr., and Mekhi Blackmon at this point. I think they'll get better and get coached up. And hey, maybe all of a sudden the secondary is better. Maybe the front seven. I'm not saying they're going to be better without Danielle Hunter because that's hard to do. But they've got some good players in Grenard and Van Ginkel and Blake Cashman, inside linebacker, brings more speed than Jordan Hicks. So it's going to be such a different defense, Jim. And that was the thing that struck me this week too, when I saw that press release from the Vikings, and they have a 27 member coaching staff. 27 coaches on this team, which is incredible to me. When I first started in the league with Bud Grant back in the later 70s, we had Bud was the head coach. We had three assistant coaches on offense, three assistant coaches on defense, and that was it. There were seven coaches on the staff, and Bus Mertes was the running backs coach, and he handled the special teams. And even Bud kind of pitched in on special teams. So it's just such a different deal today with these coaching staffs. It's just crazy that they're paying 27 coaches, essentially 26 assistant coaches, and every position has an assistant, such as Josh McCown's the quarterback coach, and his assistant quarterback coach is Grant Udinski. It's just, I think it's incredible. But what it also tells me, when you've got so many coaches and you've also got a team that the Vikings have that appear to be having eight or nine new starters on this football team this year, and we can walk through them, starting with the starting quarterback, that we don't know exactly if that's going to be Sam Darnold or more likely going to be McCarthy or May, with maybe Darnold as a bridge quarterback for a week or two. And then you talk about they're going to have Aaron Jones as the lead running back. They're going to have a new third wide receiver that's basically a starter after KJ Osborne is gone. And I think that'll be Jalen Naylor, who was a draft pick a few years ago, if he can stay healthy. It could be Brandon Powell. It could be Trent Sherfield. It could be a draft choice. You got Dalton Reisner's not re-signed yet at left guard. They could have a new starting guard there. And then on defense, even more changes when you talk about at least five new starters. And we talked about Grenard, Van Ginkel, Cashman, Griffin. And then you add on the interior, Jonah Williams or Jerry Tillery on the defensive line, starting with Harrison Phillips and Jonathan Bohr. That's a lot of changes on a team in a starting lineup. And then you add a new kicker besides, because Greg Joseph is now in Green Bay, which I don't know about. I don't know about that move. I know that he wasn't top of the charts in terms of his performance, and he had a few missed kicks, a few missed extra points, but he made a lot of clutch kicks, and he also was very consistent booting the ball into the end zone. Now, I know the new kickoff rules may change the whole strategy on kickoffs because touchbacks take you out to the 30-yard line. It's going to be kind of a big scrum, a big rugby scrum with all the players lined up across from each other about 10 yards apart. So I think the kickoff is going to be a lot more exciting play now. But even still, Joseph gave them pretty good kickoff guys. So we'll see who they bring in. And we know they brought in this John Parker Romo, who kicked in the XFL and was on the Bears practice squad last year and with the Lions in camp. But that's going to make coaches and the fan base a little nervous, considering the Vikings' history with kickers. But as I said, all these new coaches and the big challenge for Kevin O'Connell and his staff is to coach up all these new starters and very quickly, especially that new quarterback.
No doubt about it. All right, more Viking stuff. Plus, we're going to go around the league, talk about Cordarrelle Patterson, some other former Vikings. Right now, though, we want to thank White Bear Lake Superstore, whitebearlakesuperstore.com.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. The White Bear Lake Superstore, Buick GMC, with my longtime friend, owner Paul Rubin, general manager Charlie Guttrell. They're a fantastic staff. Minnesota's number one volume Buick GMC dealer, 6 years running, with the best selection and their super friendly premium team. Check out their great website, whitebearlakesuperstore.com. You'll see 1.9% APR for 36 months, plus a $750 purchase allowance and $2,500 trade assistance on 2023 and 2024 GMC Sierra 1500s, 0.9% APR, and $2,750 purchase allowance on 2023 Buick Envision, 0.9% APR and $1,500 purchase allowance on 2024 GMC Terrains. No monthly payments for 90 days on all these great vehicles. And the world's first all-electric super truck, the GMC Hummer EV pickup and SUV. The White Bear Lake Superstore is the Quigley 4x4 van superstore. They are a certified elite dealer. Only 7% of GM dealers make the cut. Visit in person at 3900 Highway 61 North in White Bear Lake or online at whitebearlakesuperstore.com for all your vehicle needs and the premium experience. Buick GMC, we are professional grade.
By the way, Talk North is brought to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios. I want to thank Aquarius Home Services. Also want to thank my friend Scott Dayton, who runs Twill in the Edina Galleria. Highly recommend it. Best men's clothing store in Minnesota. Stop by, tell them we sent you, or check out twillmn.com. He sponsors a number of shows across the program. We've always appreciated his support. So let's talk about risk now. Obviously, everybody can't wait for the Vikings to draft their future quarterback and for that future quarterback to pan out. How much does it set them back if they don't get the right guy?
Well, we saw that with Christian Ponder.
Yep.
it certainly does set the franchise back, and that's why they're doing all their due diligence now and attending pro days and setting up private workouts, and they're going to be flying these guys into the facility here in Eagan. But I think what's different is just the intensity and time that's being expended by Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah in going to on-campus visits and workouts with all these quarterbacks, not Caleb Williams necessarily, but and I'm not even sure they're going to do it with Jaden Daniels. Maybe they will, but definitely with Drake May and J.J. McCarthy they are. And so that certainly tells us, despite O'Connell at his press conference this week at the league meeting, he said, well, we might stay put, and we could get two really good players at number 11 and number 23 and maybe get a couple of defensive starters out of there. And we're not quite buying that, Kevin. Sounds good, but that's typical draft season double talk, smoke screens and all that, because they're going to draft a quarterback. They're going to trade up and get one of these guys. I think that the big challenge is can they get to number four to the Arizona Cardinals pick? Because I think that's what they need to do to ensure that they get either probably May or McCarthy. And you trade up to number five or number six, you're opening the door for Denver. And Sean Payton said this week he thinks it's realistic that they could move up to get a quarterback. So you don't necessarily want to open the door that someone can jump you. And yeah, maybe you're drafting McCarthy a little early compared to what the anticipation was. So what? It's a quarterback. And if you think he's the guy for the future, get up to number four and get him, even if it takes those two first-round picks and you got to throw in maybe a fourth rounder next year or something to get the Cardinals to jump. And I think the Cardinals would do it because then they get two first-round picks, another premium pick perhaps next year. They've got Kyler Murray. I thought one of the more humorous things I've seen, and we know this time of year is just so much fluff out there and ridiculous things that are said, but I mean, some of the crazy stuff out there that the Vikings could trade for Kyler Murray. Yeah. Well, the Cardinals would have like $100 million of dead cap on Kyler Murray. They can't do that, or that the Vikings are going to do something else or whatever, or get some other veteran quarterback. I think that they're going to make their move and get their rookie quarterback. Kwesi, we know he wants to reset that salary cap clock on a rookie, that he's been talking about that for 3 years, that was his goal. And I think that's a big part of why Kirk Cousins is gone.
No doubt about it. I love what the Steelers have done this offseason. They get Wilson for almost nothing. They get Fields for almost nothing. And then the day that the new kickoff rules are passed to encourage more kickoff returns, they sign Cordarrelle Patterson, who's a great return man.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that was certainly a great move. And Cordero, he's going to have so many more opportunities this year with these new kickoff rules. You would think, unless a team is that fearful that they're going to kick it into the end zone and give the Steelers the ball on the 30-yard line, maybe they will, especially if Patterson has some early success. But yeah, I thought that was a good signing. Plus the versatility that he can bring in the backfield to be a kind of a swing back and kind of a wildcat receiver and a Deebo Samuel type player. I think he, even at 30, whatever, 33 years old, he's still a quality player in the league. And it's just too bad the Vikings never could quite get it out of him, this versatility, when they picked him in the first round, whatever it was, 10 years ago or so. But yeah, I think the Steelers have really done some smart things. I thought they kind of dumped Pickett for not getting much for him necessarily, but when they turned around right away and got Justin Fields, I thought that was a steal for a sixth-round pick that could become a fourth-round pick. And the fascinating thing about that deal is all of a sudden Russell Wilson, who was told he's the starter in Pittsburgh, I'm not so sure about that, because he could end up being a $1 million-plus backup quarterback for the Steelers. And what a deal that is when most of the backup quarterbacks, quality backups, are making around $5 to $7 million. They get Russell Wilson for a little over $1 million because Denver's paying him the rest towards the $39 million guaranteed. And I'm not sure Russell can be that thrilled to have Justin Fields there, because I think Fields is going to end up being the starter. And maybe it won't be immediately, but it's hard to see him sitting on the bench in Pittsburgh unless Russell can really kind of reestablish himself. And he didn't have a bad season last year, but I just really see Fields being the starter.
Yeah, I think eventually he will be. The question is when. And I think Wilson has a bad game or two, that opens the door. Let's get a final thought on Jeff on what's caught his eye around the league other than the Steelers. I do want to let you know we're coming from the Aquarius Home Services Studio. We want to thank White Bear Lake Superstore, whitebearlakesuperstore.com. And remind you, if you like the show, please subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's the easiest way to listen. Check out our lineup. We have a Viking Update show. We have Russo on hockey, Krasinski on basketball. Roy Smalley and Lavelle Neal, myself on baseball. Dawn Mitchell's show has been great. We did an episode with Paul Allen that was out last week. That's really good stuff. Paul telling us how he got his start in the business. That's a great story. So check out everything at talkwork.com. We do appreciate it. Jeff, what else is catching your eye around the league?
Well, first of all, everybody can expect a lot of continued chatter about J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, all these top quarterbacks up to and into the first round. We know that. So just get ready for all that conversation and a lot of smoke screens coming out, because that's what happens pre-draft. We know that. I think the other thing that kind of caught my attention and everybody's attention around the league this week at the league meeting, we talked about the kickoff rule change, which I kind of like. I think that's going to make it exciting, bring the kickoff back into the game, but yet not have the dangerous situation where players are running 30 yards and colliding with each other. I think when they're only 5 or 10 yards apart, there's a lot less contact, even though the returners may still get hit hard. We'll see about that. But I think the other very controversial rule change was this hip drop tackle that was banned by the league, and which is defined as a player swiveling, dropping his hips or lower body, landing on and trapping the runner's legs at or below the knee. The NFL Players Association spoke out against banning such a tackle because they thought it would be very difficult on defensive players to find a target zone and how to bring players down. And I say good luck to the game officials trying to enforce this rule, which it just makes it even more difficult for defensive players to tackle, because they already have to guard against headshots, hitting defenseless receivers, going low on quarterback hits, and now they've got this hip drop tackle. Now, I understand it can create serious injuries, and maybe players will adjust to it. I think it's going to be a very difficult adjustment at first for the officials to make the call. And I think what you can expect is probably more fines from the league when they review game tapes rather than the officials making the call, unless it's really obvious. So the hip drop tackle, wow, I think it just made the officials' jobs even more tough.
No doubt. And probably increased offense, which the league will be very happy to see occur.
Yes, exactly.
Good stuff from Jeff. We appreciate it, Jeff. Always love your insights. We'll talk to you next week. We'll continue to talk about the draft and all the developments around the NFL. To everyone who's listening, we appreciate your listenership, and we'll talk to you next week.